Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And it's a delight to have you with us. I trust that you all had a great weekend and are looking forward to another great week. And I trust that as you go throughout this week that you will read your Bible and that you will read the newspaper or listen to the news every day. I've told my young people, I've told our own grandchildren that those are the two most important things to do, I think, every day. To read the Bible, get up on what God has for you and read what's going on in the world so that you might know how to respond according to the Word of God to the issues that are taking place in the world around you. But anyway, it's a delight to have you there by the radio. And on behalf of Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. And Sam, this past weekend, you had the opportunity to be at the Leadership Summit out in Iowa with the presidential candidates, and I'm sure that you've come back with a whole plate of things to share with us.
Gary, I have. And on Friday, we said that we're going to come and we're going to be out there. And I'll have to say, we gave the link on this program. We gave the link how to watch and follow that event live stream. You know, there were over a half a dozen individuals that were from back in this part of the state, that had been listening to the program, who heard that, who I knew for one reason or another, who texted me during the process of that. So I know people were watching, and I know people were listening to this program as well. And when we were there, it was in a setting, Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa. It was in the Stevens Auditorium there, a place that sits about 2,900 people. It was completely filled. Three balconies that kind of go up in a great setting for it. Down in the front were about 75 members of the media. Every media you can think of were there, sitting right in the front. And so it was well attended, well followed, and they said throughout the day that the number of tweets, that program was the number one followed program. This is where I'm going to make a mistake when I say it, but I don't know if it was on C-SPAN, of the C-SPAN items that were being followed, it was the number one item that was being out there in the tweeted avenue. So a lot of people were watching that. So I'll just set that up front and say it was there. Not all of the candidates were there. Bush was not there. Christie was not there. Rand Paul was not there. I think of the declared candidates, they're the ones that were not. Now, they were all invited. Those individuals chose not to come, but everybody else really was there. And there were just Frank Luntz, the pollster, was the individual that set up that actually posed the questions. He generally started out each of the 25-minute sessions, so they were interviewed like one at a time, so they weren't face-to-face, at least the candidates weren't. And he generally would start with asking a question to the audience. What do you all think out there about such and such a question? For instance, he started with Marco Rubio was the first one who went, and Frank started by asking the audience, how many of you here today are better off than your parents at your age? And some were not quite sure how to take that, but about 50% said yes, and I think some were not quite sure how you actually took it, because we would be better off economically perhaps, but in any regard. But then it came back with this. How many of you believe your children will be better off than you? And there wasn't a hand that went up. It was a significant thing, a significant question that were asked. But those kinds of questions were posed before each one of the candidates, and then he would go down through and would ask a number of questions, very direct in many cases, and so forth. So rather than me just go down through and just kind of give a history of all of them, I know that there were some things that stood out to you gentlemen who were listening and some things that have found their way into the press. So why don't I come back to one of you to pose a question or two, and then we can kind of fill in the blanks here perhaps.
Dave?
Well, Sam, I'm curious because I know the thing from that meeting that lit up literally the internet. It lit up media, cable television news, was Donald Trump's response to a Frank Luntz question or series of questions about John McCain. And I know, Sam, you were in the room. You know, the one snippet where Donald Trump said, you know, John McCain was a war hero because he was captured. I prefer people that are not, that have not been captured. Set that thing in its context, if you would, Sam, and explain the response in the room, because prior to going on air, you said that it wasn't like the oxygen was sucked out of the room when McCain or when Trump made that comment about McCain. So kind of share with our audience, if you would, exactly how that came about and the context of the full response by Trump, not just the one little snippet that's been aired repeatedly on the news.
Okay, I think that would be good because I will tell you that Trump was the number. He went second. It was Marco Rubio, and then it was Donald Trump. When Trump was being engaged, I'm telling you, there was electricity in that audience. There just was, and he said a number of things that in that very conservative audience, many of them who were Christians, and it was being run by the family leader, which is a very, very pro-family organization. They were of that sort. Now, there were some things that Trump said. He comes across often as rather straight out there and rather brash in some cases. You could say arrogant. Many would come back and say, well, he's arrogant about things that he knows about. Well, whatever, but that is Trump, and that's part of why people like him. Well, Frank Luntz asked him about his encounter previously with John McCain, because Trump had gone to Arizona, Phoenix, and it started out, they had a room of like 500, and it kept appearing that it was going to be bigger and bigger. They ultimately went to a stadium. They had 15,000 people. Trump, up to this point, has been drawing bigger crowds than anybody. So, and when he was there, John McCain accused him of only drawing crazies. He said, Trump is basically not fit to be a candidate, da-da-da-da, and the only people who come to his events are crazies. Well, Trump took offense at that and said, wait a minute, these are your constituents, John McCain. These are average Americans who are concerned about the issues of the day. They came. They were not crazy. He said, I know a crazy when I see one, and they're not them. And so this began a feud. So Luntz picked up on it and said, what do you say about that? So then Trump then laid out what I just said and then said, I'm drawing the biggest crowds. People aren't coming because they are not interested. They're coming because they are interested and because I'm an outsider. You know, I can speak with these guys. I'm not indebted to anybody and all that kind of business. And then he proceeded to say that John McCain had made these statements. And he said, frankly, he said, John McCain is wrong. And I said that somebody needed to run against him, which obviously didn't make McCain happy. And then it was in that context that he came back and said, you know, and by the way, there's a lot of comments that John McCain makes where he's not right, because he's frankly not that smart. And then Tate said he was the last one to graduate from his class in his last position. I'll complete what I'm saying with a statement in that context when we come back, because in the fullest context, it was not responded to as negatively as it is in the press, although what he said was frankly problematic in my opinion.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, stand back. We stand by. We'll be back right after these messages.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5000. 5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. These were the words uttered this day, July 20th, 1969, by Neil Armstrong, as he became the first man to walk on the moon. He, along with Colonel Aldrin, had landed their lunar module, the Eagle, and spent a total of 21 hours and 37 minutes on the moon's surface before redocking with the command ship Columbia. Before a joint session of Congress, Commander Neil Armstrong stated, "To those of you who have advocated looking high, we owe our sincere gratitude, for you have granted us the opportunity to see some of the grandest views of the Creator."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dahl, and Sam, you want to complete the comments that you were making about what was taking place out there in Iowa.
Okay, and I'll try to make this very, very quick. Yeah, so anyways, we're talking about Donald Trump and the questions that actually prompted his comment. So he talked about John McCain not being real smart, graduating at the last of his class from Annapolis. And then there was another comment then that he made that said, you know, and really at the end of the day, McCain's claim to fame and the reason that he has any notoriety at all really comes at the expense of the or it comes because he was in the military and he was a war hero, And so he kind of differentiated a little bit there that not necessarily everybody that's a vet necessarily is a hero. But then he made this statement then, which is the one that stuck. And it was to the extent that he prefers individuals that don't get caught and spend their time in prison, more or less. That is the comment that I think that many are saying could be extraordinarily costly to Trump. I think in the context of what he was saying, he was already talking about needing to beef up the military and the reason we need to support our vets. So he was very clear on the fact of where he was, excuse me, where he was in support of vets. But that comment there was really problematic.
But you know, as I see it, I think that, and I may be the odd man out on this thing, as it relates to what's going on across the country. But I think that what John McCain said about the type of people who follow Donald Trump. Is probably more outlandish than what Donald Trump said. I mean, Donald Trump was just making a statement there, and it's true. You know, John McCain so many times is being put up as a hero, and he is. I'm not taking that away from him. We all know his life. We all know his history. We all know that he's not in my opinion anyway, he's not a good, strong conservative. That's why he didn't do very well in his own presidential campaign. And I kind of think that some of the backlash that's coming out towards Donald Trump is coming from people who may be jealous as to what kind of ratings Donald Trump is getting in all the polls. You know, it just seems as though he's really on top on many of those polls and by a pretty wide margin. And you know, I don't think that what he said out there is going to end his campaign, like many people are saying. I kind of think that in the long run, it might stir up even more interest in his campaign. I mean, those are just my thoughts on that, Sam and Dave.
You know, yeah. Gary, I would agree with you. I think, you know, the fact is Donald Trump is an outsider. He is not a professional politician. I think he's a threat to many of those that have come up through the political establishment, and they view him because of the popularity he is currently receiving and the interest that he's currently receiving. They view him as a potential threat. And Sam, what you said makes perfect sense, because that is really basically the way Donald Trump has tried to defend himself on all the news programs, that he was not critical of those that are veterans. He was very supportive of those that are veterans. And he did say four times that I do believe John McCain is a war hero. It's just that statement that, you know, he's a hero because he got captured. I prefer people that don't get captured. That statement is the one that is, you know, going to be probably difficult. I agree, Gary. I don't think at this point this is going to derail completely his candidacy. I don't think it should derail his candidacy. And this is not an endorsement of Donald Trump. I'm just saying I don't think this rises to the level of causing him to be unqualified to serve as president. But I'll tell you what, it has sure placed him in the crosshairs. And from here on out, everything, if it's not already been obvious that everything he says is going to be scrutinized, everything from this point on is definitely going to be scrutinized. Every single syllable of every single word he says will be scrutinized to this high degree. So he's got a large responsibility on him from this point on.
You know, the question that I have as it relates to that particular statement is, putting all things aside and everything being equal, if we could get to that point, what was really wrong with that statement? You know, and Sam, I tell you why I'm asking that is because you have had the experience of running against the establishment, and you know how the establishment will take something that you said and just, you know, really run with it and throw it out of the ballpark if they can. And in reality, when you look at the context in which it was said and how it was said, it's really not that far out. It's just the fact that the establishment or others who were not with you you know, made much more out of something that really wasn't there. And so my question is, do you think that's the case with what Donald Trump did? I mean, like, everything being equal, the statement, in my opinion, is not that bad.
Well, this is the further context of that, Gary. No question about it. The establishment candidates, Lindsey Graham, was there. He really weighed in. He made it very clear, my friend John McCain. And of course, everybody who knows Lindsey Graham knows that he is a clone of John McCain, so it's not surprising that he weighed in and so forth. But when Rick Perry came out, the first thing he started with effectively was he was visibly angry at the statement that Trump said. However, if you understand in the context of it, Perry came out against Trump's original immigration statement. So they've already established a going at it with each other.
Yeah, and Perry is what, 1 or 2%, and Donald Trump is up to where, 18%? Big difference. Yeah,
well, see, that is, and see, that's a very interesting thing. So I found that those who commented negatively in that setting after Trump, and he was number two in the lineup, so everybody had a chance, of those who issued a negative comment, it was those who had previously encountered and or issued a negative comment. Ted Cruz, though, if you note, Ted came up after him, and he did not make any negative statement about it. Now, if we also remember, Ted Cruz met with Donald Trump in New York. And I heard Donald Trump yesterday morning on a news program where he was being interviewed by folks who had actually, in the press, had been assailing him. Now they were actually there in apologetic fashion talking with him because his statements about immigration have proven to be true, and he's defining this whole debate. In that setting, Trump came out and said, look, regarding McCain, I supported McCain during the presidential election. I raised a lot of money for him. He said, and I am with those who don't speak against me. He said, but when somebody turns on me, McCain making a statement about crazies, he said, that's when I said, all right, you're no longer with me, you're against me. And he said he spoke out against him. And he said, but on the other hand, he said, some of the candidates I really like. As an example, he said, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz actually came to New York to meet with me. And he sat down with me, a decent human being. He said, I like Ted Cruz. And so he made a point of saying, there are those who speak and are with you and those who are against you. And if those who are against you, against me, he said, I'm going to go after them. And he parlayed that into why he goes after Iran and why is he going to go after Islam terrorists, why he's going to speak out against Obama when he does things that are not in the interest of our country. And those kinds of connectabilities are what people are responding to and saying, hey, I just like to hear somebody standing and speaking in a fresh fashion. At the end of the day, that's how I would summarize those issues relating to Trump's comment and why I say I think probably in the longest and in the larger aspect, I don't think it's going to sink his ship. I think it's actually giving more opportunity for him to actually address the press in various forms. And I think that those who have said, wait a minute, better be careful who you speak evil against, he just might be right, are watching. And those who have come out like the establishment, they're scared to death of him because he doesn't need the establishment nor their money. And that really bothers them.
Sam Geary, let me ask you a question. You know, of the candidates that are on the stage right now, the two least establishment are Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. I'm just curious, Sam and Geary, both of you, I'd love to hear your opinion. Do you think the reason people are going after the two of them is because they are the least establishment people? And that in and of itself, in addition to the fact that Trump doesn't need their money, the fact that these two gentlemen are out of the mainstream. Yes, Ted Cruz has been a senator, but he is a Tea Party guy. And I think all of that threatens the establishment and scares them, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I think that's a possibility. As a matter of fact, because of the fact that Donald Trump and Ted Cruz have met, some of the things that I've been hearing, you know, from the people that I talked with is that, number one, you know, Donald Trump does not claim to be a born-again Christian. He calls himself a Christian, but he says, I've never really invited Christ in my heart, or however he said that, something along that line. And I've been hearing Christians say, well, you know, Donald Trump is there, and he looks like he's got the business sense to get the nation back together. And Ted Cruz, you know, is the one who has a good Christian testimony. Maybe the two of them would make a good president, vice presidential ticket. Sam?
Well, I think, Geary, I think you're probably correct as we wind up this section and probably head to a new item after this break here. But I think you're probably right. And they're both outside the box. They're both non-establishment. They're both speaking the truth. I don't know. Stranger things have happened, but I think that's partly why people are stepping up and supporting both of those candidates.
Very interesting to watch. And ladies and gentlemen, we understand that John Kasich is going to be probably announcing that he's going to run too one of these times before too long. So stand by. We will be back with more of Stand in the Gap right after these messages.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
News Radio, I'm Pam Puso. A symbolic move in the nation's capital signaling the full restoration of U.S.-Cuba relations.
The red, white, and blue flag of Cuba flying on 16th Street in northwest Washington, D.C. The first time a Cuban flag has been raised at an embassy here in the United States since 1961.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern outside the embassy. In mid-August, Secretary of State John Kerry plans to travel to Havana. Unanimous support for the Iran nuclear deal from the UN Security Council.
It is a sad day because the international community is taking steps to lift the sanctions on Iran.
Ron Prosser is Israel's ambassador to the UN. President Obama says the agreement is the strongest approach to ensure that Iran doesn't get a nuclear weapon. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Even in evil cultures led by arrogant and haughty rulers, take heart because God gets the last laugh. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Though nations seek to establish governments without God, truth, and moral restraint, though evil rulers conspire against God and persecute his people because they remind them of their sin, we should not fret. The King of Kings sits in the heavens and laughs at their futile actions. He scoffs at their puny efforts to challenge his authority. And one day, he'll terrify them in his wrath. He'll rebuke them in righteous anger and in deep displeasure will say to them, I've given you my son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Kiss him now and serve him with fear and humble submission, or you will perish, for I've authorized him to break you in pieces with a rod of iron. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, agreeing with God, the choice in life is clear. Reject Jesus Christ and perish, or trust him and be blessed.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. And, you know, yesterday in the sermon that I preached where I pastor the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania, I mentioned that there are a lot of things going on in the United States of America today that really is turning our back upon the Lord and His Word and what He expects. And, of course, what I did yesterday, fellas, was to begin with 1962 when prayer and Bible reading was taken out of the public school, and then bringing us right up to a week or so ago whenever the United States Supreme Court basically indicated that same-sex marriage, same-sex marriage is legal in the United States of America, even though it's not lawful. But one of the things that I brought out in that particular litany of events is what is going on over in the Middle East and this deal that supposedly has been made between United States and four or five other countries and Iran concerning their bomb deal. It's not a treaty. It's some sort of an agreement that really probably, I don't know, Sam, you would understand this much better than I suppose, but I would think that it's almost unconstitutional the way the thing is being put together. But you have a situation now, you know, where Israel is being slapped in the face once again by the administration of the United States of America, that being the likes of John Kerry and Barack Obama. And, you know, it's interesting that, first of all, we're going against what it says back in Genesis chapter 12, where it says that God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. And I think that we are in the process of cursing Israel. So on one hand, you've got the judgment of God to look at as it relates to the United States, as the United States' current attitude and actions towards Israel. On the other hand, you've got the attitude of Israel. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu and others over there are very, very, very upset at this particular deal. And the question that I think comes to our mind today is, what can we expect out of Israel? You know, if our Congress doesn't have the backbone to come up with a rightful treaty, what can we expect from Israel, Sam? How do you think they're going to respond to all of this?
Well, well, Gary, they have made it very, very clear. Benjamin Netanyahu, before the event, obviously when he came and spoke to Congress a couple months ago, I mean, that was to put them on notice. But after the event, or after the announcement by the administration last week, he was very, very clear to say, this is not a good deal. This is a bad deal. This is a deal that imperils the security of Israel, and we will not stop by or stand by. Well, since that point last week, when all of that occurred, there have been a number of surveys that have been taken, and in one of them, 74% of Israelis in this survey show or indicate that they believe this deal will not stop Iran. So it's the exact counter to what the president's saying. And by a margin of 47 to 35%, that's 47 to 35%, they are indicating support for a preemptive Israeli military strike against Iran. And I think, whereas Gary, as you say, they're hoping that something can come out of Congress and so forth, as I know if we've talked about some earlier programs, most view at the end of the day, there may be lots of talk, but there probably will be very little, if any, substantive, legal, lawful, legislative type action that will derail what this president has put in place, meaning it will stand, and meaning that, as many are saying, this treaty, theoretically there to preserve or make for peace, actually may become, in fact, this most significant trigger for war in the Middle East, because Israel cannot sit by, and now their people by majority are indicating they think it's time to move. So I think there's something about to happen.
Well, at this particular point, it's not a treaty, actually, is it? It's just an agreement. It's just some kind of a deal that has been made. And because it's a deal or and not a treaty, I don't know, does it even have much weight? Or is this just a situation where our administration is trying to dictate to the people of the United States, including the Congress, what we're going to do no matter what we think, Dave?
Well, Gary, the tragedy is this, and I think Sam and I did talk about this a little bit on a couple of programs back, but the fact of the matter is this, Congress surrendered their authority to the president. By this not being allowed or not being termed a treaty. And then you have the Corker legislation that was introduced in the Senate and all of that, which lowered the threshold of the two-thirds required to ratify a treaty to just a simple majority. So basically, you had men in the Senate and in the House that voluntarily surrendered to the president the authority to work this quote-unquote executive agreement, which is what the president is calling it. So we know, Gary, technically it's not a treaty. It should be a treaty. It's going to carry ultimately all the weight of a treaty, but it was not called that. The entire process leading up to the agreement was fraught with all types of inappropriate things, and the Congress basically surrendered their authority to the president. So he's gone ahead and done this. And gentlemen, I don't know if you saw this, but right before we went on the air, I've been monitoring the news. There was a big flare-up at the UN after the agreement was presented there and, of course, overwhelmingly approved. Samantha Power, who is the UN ambassador, made some comments about Iran's human rights violations, which prompted a very visceral reaction on the part of the Iranian ambassador, who snapped back and said, well, coming from a country that's twice invaded our land inappropriately, you have no right to be talking about human rights violations. So, gentlemen, if anything is up for discussion about where Iran stands on this, where Iran stands on this, and are they going to live up to this quote-unquote executive agreement, that should speak volumes to it. They are arrogant. They are defiant. And, gentlemen, this has all the potential of literally igniting a third world war in the Middle East. And I will say this, having just come back from Israel, their response to what they saw coming, an agreement that was not going to be favorable to their security and protection, there is firm resolve in Israel. You could sense it. You could hear it from the people there. They will preemptively strike if they feel they need to, especially now that they believe the United States has betrayed them.
Sam, do they have the capability right now, that is, if Israel would strike Iran, do they have the capability of defeating Iran, do you think? I mean, you know that they're not going to have a whole lot of support from us if they did that. In fact, they may be fighting Washington as well. But what do you think the outcome of that would be?
Well, you know, as many of the articles are indicating and we've talked about here and it's been known, Israel has been in the preparation stages for an anticipated conflict with Iran for a long time. And even what they're saying right now is that the fact that they are coming to the point of saying, we need to do something, they didn't just arrive at this decision. They have been planning for this for a long time because they have seen it coming for a long time. And unlike our administration, who says, we don't see an issue, they look and they say, we know there's an issue. And as they were saying, some of the spokespeople from Israel were saying this morning, you know, kind of like, what is it with the United States? Because don't they understand that we are the little Satan in the eyes of Iran? The big Satan is the United States. And in even over the last few days, there have been parades and there's been announcements from Iranian leaders about death to America. I mean, these guys have not stopped in their rhetoric. They have not stopped in their efforts. And so Israel happens to be sitting right there. Now, frankly, we are just a short distance away by intercontinental ballistic missile, which they have threatened us with. But Iran's sitting right there. The assumption, Gary, is that if Iran goes at, I mean, if Israel goes after them, they have already thought it out. Well, they have a plan. Number two, they have flyover space already permitted to them by Saudi Arabia because they got to get there. Saudi's already given them because the Saudis also view Iran as a problem. And beyond that, once they do that, though, Iran will no doubt unleash a whole flurry of missiles coming towards Israel. And at that juncture, to some extent, I think they're almost putting themselves in the hands of God in many respects. But they know that if they do not, they will not be around as a nation. So these are most, most critical days, most critical in exciting days, frankly, in some respects.
Of course, it could be that Israel has enough firepower right now that they could wipe Iran off the face of the earth. Dave, I mean, we really don't know what they have. I think that they're not going to act in a superficial way. I think if they act, they're going to act in intelligently because, as Sam said, you know, they've been planning this for quite some time. They may have the capability of just destroying the military of Iran.
Well, Gary, I will say this. They will act in a decisive way. If they act, that's the way Israel has always responded. We saw some things that I'm going to be very guarded in what I say while we were there in Israel. We saw some things relative to their security apparatus that would lead me to believe that the statement you just made, Gary, would be the reality. They have the potential. They've thought this through. They know where this has been going. So they're going to respond. in a fitting and appropriate and decisive way.
Well, we know that God has a plan for Israel. We'll watch him work, and they'll come out on the victor's side, no doubt about that. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today, right after these messages.
Blessed is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, online at thelifegroup.org. For nearly 40 years, we have worked with believers and especially widows across the nation. We all need wisdom as it relates to our finances, taxes, and estate planning, but no one more than the widow who must manage on her own. We are financial advisors committed to a biblical worldview. We assist with your income taxes and give advice to help keep your taxes low. We also carefully invest your money to provide a comfortable retirement income, and we work closely with Christian attorneys to draft a believer's will and powers of attorney. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800, or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson, 1800.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources, categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. There are sure a lot of things going on in the country today, and of course we know that last week there was that terrible shooting down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and four of the service individuals died, and over the weekend the fifth one died. And this thing is really taking on a course of its own. There are a lot of things taking place down in and around Chattanooga that makes me wonder, David, if what's going on down there isn't a whole lot deeper and has more connection with Islam and ISIS than what we are being led to believe.
Well, Gary, I share the same concerns that you have. You know, it's interesting. The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security have said up to this point that there is no overt and obvious connection that Abdulaziz, this gentleman who killed the five Marines down there in Chattanooga, there's no direct connection he had to ISIS or some Islamic entity. And yet, he posted online right before the shooting occurred a verse from the Quran. It had an ominous sound to the verse. There is obviously time he spent in Jordan, 7 months. It's hard for me. In fact, gentlemen, it's impossible for me to believe that he would spend 7 months in Jordan and not have contact with radical Islamic entities, terrorist entities over there. Over the weekend, the family of this young man, this 24-year-old young man who shot these folks, came out and basically said, our son was going through depression. This is not the young man we knew. And they're trying to blame his horrific act on his depression and other things. The Islamic community in Greater Chattanooga attended some services over the weekend and declared publicly their allegiance with the city of Chattanooga and with the United States of America. Gentlemen, all of that sounds great, but here's the problem. 100 miles to the northwest of the city of Chattanooga is one of the largest mosques in America. It was built in the Murfreesboro, Tennessee area. There's a lot of things going on in and around the area of Murfreesboro and hence Chattanooga that have a very sinister overtone to it. And so what I'm going to predict and what I'm going to say is this, because I know enough about Islam to make the statement, this incident by this young man does have ties to Islamic terrorism and to some Islamic group, whether it's ISIS or some other. And these statements publicly of support for America are done merely as a smokescreen to cover what the real intent is in the community of Chattanooga and Murfreesboro and what the real intent is in these mosques. So, gentlemen, this is beyond disturbing. It is beyond disturbing and ought to be a topic of conversation for weeks and months ahead as we really, I trust, will delve into what took place there and if there's anything else that's going to grow out of it.
Sam, your comments on that, sir.
Well, I agree totally with Dave, and I'll follow up with that. We've talked about on this program, and those who have listened understand, I hope, that there is out there within the media, within government, Muslim Brotherhood individuals well-placed, operating out of the State Department, operating in Homeland Security, operating out of the White House, already identified. Not going to go through all of that. But they have a very effective reach into the media in order to utilize circumstances like this for the advancement, propagandize-wise, to put the American people at calm so that they do not begin to think of Islam as the problem, even though the teaching of Islam is the problem. And what their intentions are for this country is the problem. And what's being communicated and taught in these mosques is the problem. And so in this event here, I think I agree with Dave totally. The effort to try and pull together and say, well, he may have been going here to church with us, but he's not like us. And we're as concerned about as anything else. Well, maybe there is some concern, but frankly, when you have an ideology, a religion that says that you should lie to the infidel, that you should deceive the infidel. And when you are a part of an ideology that absolutely holds to a competing, mutually exclusive ideology and system of law, Sharia law, that cannot stand side by side with what we have, when that is in place, I'm sorry, gentlemen, but I cannot believe that our first response should be to say, well, they're all friendly except for one or two. The ideology is that competition. That's the problem. And I'd have to say that if you are a part of a religion that says death to America, death to the infidel, lie, deceive, cheat, anything you need to do to advance your cause, and you don't agree with that ideology, then I would say change your religion. And that's what's not happening. We're not seeing a change from these who call themselves Muslims to say we're going to walk away from it. They're just saying he's not really like us. This is a problem, and I agree with Dave totally.
Gary, if I could quickly say this, if there had been acts of horrific terror committed across the United States, and in surveying and trying to identify any common links among those people that had perpetrated those acts, they found that every single person who had perpetrated that act had been a taker of a particular drug. I'm just going to throw out the drug Prozac. Everybody that had committed a horrific act had been a user of Prozac. Would we not see Prozac pulled from the market immediately? And the answer is yes. Well, the common denominator in every one of these acts of terror that have been and are being repeatedly perpetrated, not just around the world, but more specifically in the United States, the common link is Islam. And that's the point Sam's making. Islam is the problem. The teachings of Islam is the problem. And so the fact that we won't address that and nobody wants to go there is in and of itself an enormous problem.
So the question is, can we trust a Muslim at all, Dave?
Gary, the fact of the matter is this. While I was in Israel, I met some Palestinian Muslims that I feel I could trust my life with, but they're not practicing Muslims. None of them that I met that I felt like I could put my life in their hands while I was there, and they went out of their way to protect us and to keep us safe, but they're not practicing Muslims. But if those are practicers of the faith, if they live by the five pillars of Islam and they go to the mosque and they practice their faith, then Gary, forgive me, but yes, we have reasons to have great concern about them.
Well, we do. And one of the things I would encourage each and every one of you to do is learn what you can about Islam. And just don't take our word for it, but learn what you can about Islam. And I agree with Sam that if a person says they're Muslim and they do not agree with what Islam is doing, then change your religion. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have life eternal and life abundant would be my suggestion. Sam, tomorrow we're going to have the opportunity to have a guest on with us, correct?
Yeah, yes, we will. We'll have Jeff Mateer from Liberty Institute back with us, Gary. And the purpose of that, which I encourage people to make sure you're back with us, post the Supreme Court ruling, there have been a lot of legal challenges that have been going on. We're going to have Jeff Mateer update us what's happening nationally. And I think it's going to shock you when you find out. Maybe it won't shock you, but you're going to be surprised at the extent and the breadth of challenges coming out of the Supreme Court ruling tomorrow. Jeff Mateer will be here with us.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you'll not want to miss tomorrow's program of Stand in the Gap Today with Jeff Mateer of Liberty Institute being with us. Thank you for joining us today. On behalf of Dave and Sam, I'm Gary saying, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for we know the best is yet to come, because God's in control.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.